Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1030. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. This is part of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Just a wonderful discourse through these chapters, 5, 6, and 7, about how to live out our Christian faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so at one point, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And so he goes through this and talks about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
So today we're going to look at the purpose and power of prayer, looking first at this story from Hezekiah out of Isaiah chapter 38. And before we get into the thoughts about prayer itself, there's several amazing miracles that happen here. One is the healing of Hezekiah from his physical illness. But the other was that God's promise in here was that I will defend this city from the Assyrians. The great and powerful Assyrians have been coming against Jerusalem. And we don't see it in here, but eventually God sends out his angels and they destroy over 100,000 of the Assyrians. And they have to go back, and in fact, they never did conquer Jerusalem. Now, of course, it was just about 150 years later, the Babylonians did come and conquer Jerusalem. But here, around 700 BC, 721, the Assyrians were not able to conquer the city, and God's angels protected them. But the other was, maybe amazing, God is going to give Hezekiah a sign. It's a pretty amazing sign. "I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial turn back 10 steps." He's going to stop the sun and it's going to go backwards across the sky 10 steps. And it did. It's like, wow, God can do anything. God can do anything. So if you ever hear stories about the sun going backwards, this is where it comes from. And God did that in a truly amazing way. But that's not the sermon topic today. That's for another day. Today we're going to talk about the purpose and power of prayer. And so we have this story in Isaiah 38. King Hezekiah, who's king of Judah or Judea, which is the southern part of the land of Israel. So Israel was the northern part. Judah is the southern part. So Hezekiah is the king. We're talking about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Hezekiah gets sick. He's told to get his house in order. You're going to die. And so Hezekiah wails and laments, I'm sure beat his breast, crying before the Lord, reminding God of all the good things that he's done. He says, "Remember, I walked according to your ways, Lord. Talk about bargaining with God. You know, have any of you ever done that, bargain with God? We do it every day. So that's what he's doing. But weeping and wailing and turning to God, and lo and behold, God hears Hezekiah's prayer. And he says to Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And so he did, but he didn't just wave his hand. He says, now this is how it's going to happen. Take a cake of figs, apply it to the boil, and he will recover. And they did, and he did. And so there's several lessons I think we see in this. First of all, God does hear our prayers. Prayers do matter. And prayers have power. And we see that certainly in this story with Hezekiah. He was going to die. But God, because of response to the prayers of Hezekiah, changed and said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. What an amazing thing. The second thing I think it tells us is that most often, when God does answer a prayer, particularly for healing, it's something that is a process. And it's something that he says, here's what I want you to do in order to participate in this healing. Now, for Isaiah, it was take a fig and put these figs on top of this boil and it would recover. And so he did. Just kind of a sidelight. Again, it's amazing. You think and pray about certain things and then other things start to come up. And this whole idea about these natural healing remedies, we're hearing more and more today about these super bugs, you know, and our antibiotics are no longer effective because they've mutated and become more powerful and so forth. And yet in many respects, people see us going back to these natural remedies, like we see here about a cake of figs. Again, just, I don't know, by chance or whatever, but just in the last couple weeks, I've heard several people talk about the medical value of apple cider vinegar. And I say that to people, see, they start shaking your head. Oh, yeah, we knew about that. You know, my grandma knew about that for 100 years, apple cider vinegar. I have a guy I play tennis with, has tremendous trouble with gout, and he started taking 1 or 2 teaspoons in 8 ounces of water. He was told put a little bit of lime juice in it. I don't know what that does, except it tastes better, I guess. But he takes it 3 times a day. And he said since he's been doing that, he has just felt great. And so others we've talked about, we were talking about it at lunch on Wednesday, and people were saying, yes, I felt this. So anyway, it's amazing to me that there are these things. I went online, by the way, to check this out. And of course, all the medical things are saying, there's no scientific proof. There's nothing of this, you know, and all these claims and nothing's proved. And by the way, be careful because it's going to ruin the enamel in your teeth. And so anyway, obviously there are some concerns, I guess, if we take too much. But I'm just amazed that we're seeing these kinds of things where God has in nature the things that can bring back, in fact, healing. And I believe as we get to a time, you know, we're not going to have all the medicines and things, I guess. So, God does amazing things, and whatever he may be calling us to do, maybe something like this is something that would bring us healing and strength. So I just leave that with you. But, again, getting back to the purpose and power of prayer, again, in this book, What We Believe and Why by George Koch. He spends a significant amount of time on prayer, about how important prayer is in our Christian walk, in our walk of faith, in our relationship with God. And so he spends a lot of time. And so I'm kind of been feeding off that and reading through that. And in fact, I've kind of been, I wouldn't call it a crisis, but I've been having some questions after all these years. I mean, I was raised a Catholic church, and you know, I prayed all my life, and all of a sudden some things have been coming into my mind. And it's kind of amazing to me, but the things I pray about and consider. And one of those is, if particularly what we heard in our reading today, God knows what we need before we ask him. Do you remember hearing that? God knows what we need before we ask him. So my question was, well, then why do we need to ask? Why do we need to ask? And I, well, you're getting ahead of me here. No fair. I think, you know, these analogies as a parent, if one of my kids, you know, falls into a ditch, I don't need to have somebody ask me to help them get out of the ditch, right? I'm going to go. I'm going to try to do whatever I can. Although, again, this is kind of another, there's always side things to this, by the way. And I thought this analogy through, and God says, yes, but you know what you kids are like sometimes. And this was true with our own kids, particularly our son, Patrick. When he would ask a question like, why is there a ring around the moon? And I say, well, it's this. And he said, no, that's not it. So he, so you know, if he were to fall into a ditch and I'd say, okay, look here, put your foot there, put this, and you get, and he's like, no, I'll do it myself. And I thought, oh, wow, how does that sound like us? God says, well, I want you to do this. No, no, that's all right, God, I'll do it myself. I just want you to bless whatever I'm going to do so that I'll get this healing. And again, you can see as a frustrated parent, you know, it's like, if you would just do what I'm telling you to do. So anyway, but getting back to the overall analogy, God knows what we need before we ask him. He loves us. You would think he would want to be doing things for us without asking. So the thought occurred to me, what if we just stopped asking God for things? What if we just said, Lord, I'm just going to leave it to you. I'm trusting in your greatness, your goodness. You're my parent, my father. I just trust whatever I need, you're going to provide for me, and that's it. I'm just going to leave it to you. So, crazy thinking maybe, but of course, as with any theological question, when we have questions, we turn to the scriptures. And so, as we look to the scriptures, certainly as we saw in our reading from Matthew, the scriptures are very clear. They tell us to ask. We are told to ask, make your request known to God. And so that's a very important part of it, simply to say we're following what the scriptures say, which is, yes, you're supposed to ask God, even though he knows what we need before we even ask him. So the scriptures are clear to make those requests known to God. So then I start to think, okay, if we're going to ask, is God just waiting to be pestered to do something he ordinarily wouldn't do? Again, I'm thinking as a parent, is God just waiting to be pestered for us to claim, please do this, please do that, like Hezekiah, wailing, you know, please, please don't let me die. Is that what God's waiting for? And is that why we are told, in fact, to ask? Well, I think, again, we get back to the primary purpose of Christianity. And again, this is revealed in the scriptures. The primary purpose of Christianity is relationship with God. It's all about relationship. And so as I prayed through these questions this week, I believe God was showing me in the scriptures, it's not so much he's waiting, you know, for somebody to pester him or to ask to do things. He's simply saying, you know, where's our communication? Where's our participation? Where is there evidence of your dependence upon me? I think is what God's saying. And one way we demonstrate that is by turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, please help me with it. Kind of like, again, a little child. You know, help me with this. Help me with that. Help me do this. Help me go there. What this is it brings relationship to God. It's not that he's waiting for us in order to answer a prayer. But he's saying, will you acknowledge my sovereignty and your dependence upon me for even the breath that you take? And our response biblically is, yes, Lord, yes. Everything we have comes from you. Every single thing. I look up at the moon. We've had some beautiful views of the moon, haven't we, this week? And this morning the sun was so bright. Do you realize what would happen to life on earth? Like when the sun turned back, right, went back. Could you imagine what happened if the earth stopped spinning? Life on earth as we know it, as I understand, is it would cease to exist. Yeah. That spinning is so precise, so exact. The moon is up there. It's like this big hunk of rock is just sitting up there in the sky. And it goes around perfectly. We know the rotation of it and so forth. It just boggles my mind. And yet we take so much for granted when, in fact, our very breath is dependent upon every single act of God in creation. And so, again, I think it's about this dependence on God while he's saying, come to me, come to me. I want you to keep coming to me. And I know some people say, well, I don't want to bother God. I'm going to wait because I don't want to use up my, you know, get so much grace, I guess we fear. I don't want to use it all up. I don't want to pray for a parking spot at Ingalls. I'm going to wait till I really need something, and then I'll come to God. You know, people are laughing, but how many times have we thought this ourselves? And God is saying the opposite. I want you to come to me for every single thing, every breath. Give thanks. And I'm learning to do that. I get thanks when I wake up. Thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you for, you know, clean water, clean air, everything we have. Thank you for coffee makers. Amen. I think that's what he's looking for, is constant relationship, constant communications. And so I think that's what God is about asking, is really about communication and relationship. Now here's a dilemma. We're told in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow, what a warning. What a warning. And yet again, this is really reinforced by other things in Scripture where Jesus says, you know, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. You know, if you ask for something, you have to believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Ask in my name, I'll do anything in my name. And so there is that confidence, that affirmation that God gives us about the power of our prayers. And yet how natural and how human it is for us to pray, Lord, please fix this thing in my life, and I don't know if you're going to do it or not. I don't know if you're even aware of what I'm going through in my life. That's a real human thing. It's a real challenge. And so I have come to be thinking and praying about this week, is there another way to make our request known to God? I said, remember, asking is about relationship, constant communication, constantly acknowledging his sovereignty and our dependence on him. Is there another way that rather than so much asking for things, to actually acknowledge dependence and still get that power of prayer? So I offer this to you to pray about yourselves because I do think it's biblical. It goes something like this. It is a matter of, let me put these up here. It's a matter of the testimony. Testimony is just a proclamation that we make. You know, we're told in Revelation that the saints of God overcame the enemy by the blood of Jesus and by the word of their testimony. Derek Prince was great about this. When he would give his talks, he would stand up and he and his wife, and they would recite these scripture passages together. And basically, it's just a testimony of the truths of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a powerful testimony that is. And it's acknowledging our dependence on God, but also applying that power into our very lives. Another way is to have the claims of Scripture. To claim the presence of God with me. Jesus said, I am with you always. Jesus, I'm claiming your presence with me. I'm feeling kind of alone right now. I'm feeling kind of disoriented. I'm feeling kind of scattered. But Lord, I'm claiming the promise of your presence with me at this very moment. To give a testimony, to make a claim. And then finally, to be pronouncing blessings. You know, blessings and curses are a major theme throughout the Scriptures. To pronounce blessings, I would do it for our kids. I still do it to this day. I pronounce blessings for our grandchildren. It doesn't take much. Just God's blessing be upon you. We pray over the church. We pray for people. Jesus blessed the children when they came to him. Just laid a hand on him and blessed them. This power of blessing is so powerful. Do we pray blessings over our homes, over our cars, over all the things we have? I just pray God's blessing upon this right now. I pray God's blessing upon my dreams at night, that the enemy would not be able to infiltrate my subconsciousness and affect me. I plead the blood of Jesus upon my dreams, my unconsciousness, upon our home, upon our bedroom. Now, again, it's the same kind of thing, acknowledging dependence on God. In a sense, you know, yes, we ask for things, but my sense is that there is more power in this claiming, in this proclaiming, in this testimony that we make, because we're pronouncing truths of God's word upon our lives. I was never taught to pray like this. I don't know how many of us maybe were. I just have a sense there's tremendous power in this. That the prayer is power. Prayer does make a difference. But not just asking, but claiming these promises as a child of God. Nothing happens in my life that God does not allow or direct. Isn't that a great truth? I am a child of God. Nothing happens in my life without the direction or allowance of my Heavenly Father. Wow. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In some respects, it has to do, I think, with the power of the spoken word. Remember in creation, God spoke, "Let there be light." Okay, Jesus would pronounce blessing. He would pronounce healings. In a sense, it's that spoken word. And so to say something like, "I am a child of God, nothing can harm me aside from God's will and purpose and plan." And we just keep saying it over and over and over again. There is power going forth every time we proclaim that truth of God's word. I just believe that. I believe that. And so I just offer this to you, kind of a different way of looking at prayer. God truly does know what we need before we ask him. So why does he want us to ask? It's not about God, it's about us. And acknowledging our dependence on him and our trust in his word. And I'm just going to keep proclaiming and hanging on to those promises and those claims and making that testimony over and over and over again. Now, having said that, I do think it's important to keep in mind that as we're looking at things from God's perspective, it's a little bit different than our perspective. Things that God knows that we do not yet know. And it caused me to think again about Hezekiah. Poor Hezekiah got sick, but God gave him another 15 years. I don't know this, but my sense is after 15 years, finally Hezekiah does cross over. He gets up to heaven and he says, "Oh my goodness, I could have been here 15 years ago." Right? I mean, can you imagine that happening? He gets up and he sees how glorious it is. He's like, "Oh, and I asked to delay this 15 years? How stupid was I?" I mean, you know, I'm kind of going on and building it up. But do you see? Do you see? He's asking, "Oh, I don't want to go to that place. Give me another 15, you know, or I'll give you 15 years." But you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. So see, thinking in God's perspective, God's ways, instead of our own, it just changes everything around. It changes everything around. There is a better place for us. One of my favorite stories, I've got lots of favorite stories, one of my favorites is about a son whose wayward son gets into trouble, doing all kinds of bad things, hanging out with the wrong kind of people, getting the stuff he shouldn't be getting into and not doing things that he should be doing. Life is just a mess. Finally, he starts to get his act together, starts to get in line. Things start to fall in place. He gets accepted to a college, a university. He goes off to college. And for a while, things are really going well. He's got his act together. He's studying. You know, he's doing well. And the parents are so proud and thanking God for the answer to prayers that all pulled into this kid. Well, lo and behold, it doesn't last long. He starts to fall wayward once again. Again, getting in with the wrong crowds, not doing the things he should do. He's skipping classes. He's getting into addictions again that he had tried to put behind him. And his life is just falling apart. His money's gone. Now they're kicking him out of school. He's failing all his courses. It's fallen apart. So he calls his parents. And he explains to them what's going on. He said, "You know, it's just falling apart." And the mother says to him three words. And when I first heard this, I thought, "Oh, I know what they are. You know, we love you," right? Just to affirm the love that they have for him. But that wasn't it. It was even better than that. Three words. "Just come home. Just come home, son." I think that's God's view from us. He says, "I know what you're going through. I know it's hard." There comes to a point, God says, just come home. And it'll be wonderful. Power of prayer. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. Truly, the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?